5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. Just trust. Believe.
Something Was Playing With Me by Big Boss Cheeto. It started when I was injured and had to sleep in our guest room. It used to be used by my grandpa before he passed away. I was stuck in bed, so I started watching TikToks about paranormal experiences nonstop. A few days in, I started hearing what sounded like mice or footsteps in the closet, but only at night. However, whenever my parents came in to check, it would stop. They didn't find anything. Then my TV remote disappeared. I looked everywhere, gave up, and went to bed. The next day, it was just there, on the bed. Then I had two identical hydro flasks show up in the room when I only own one. My mom handed me mine, and then somehow, there were two. The scariest part was the whispering. Every time I turned my back to the closet, I'd hear soft whispering and movement. When I looked at the closet, silence. I played Christian music to sleep, and weirdly, it was the only thing that never really glitched. Other small things happened, objects vanishing and reappearing in impossible places. One time, I brought my hairbrush to the gym, left it in the locker, and later found it on my desk at home. Once I moved back to my usual bedroom and placed a Bible on the nightstand, everything stopped. However, now, I've started watching that same paranormal TikTok channel again, and I feel that energy creeping back. It's subtle, but familiar. Has anyone experienced anything like this? Could it be a mischievous spirit? Or am I overthinking everything?
Margaret's House by Sabrina. My mother had become friends with a German woman named Margaret. They met by chance one afternoon at my mother's work and bonded instantly over their German shepherds. My mother, originally from Switzerland, had always missed speaking German since moving to Australia years ago, so their friendship felt comforting. Over time, Margaret began traveling back to Germany regularly, and she'd always ask if we could look after her house and her beloved dog while she was away. At first, my sister Jamie and I took turns house-sitting. The house was spacious, with several guest rooms. But oddly, we always ended up sleeping in the same room. Neither of us ever spoke about it, but there was this unshakable feeling, like eyes watching us from the corners of every room, just beyond sight. Margaret would return to find her dog happy and well cared for, and the arrangement became a quiet routine. But there was one time Jamie was overseas, and I had to house-sit alone. I invited a few girlfriends over, telling them how grown up it felt to have a house to ourselves. That night, three of us crammed into the same bed, laughing it off as a sleepover. One friend, Sophie, couldn't stay the night because she had to work a late shift. She called to check in and said, almost hesitantly, "I just wanted to make sure you weren't alone, that Helen is still there with you." When I reassured her, Sophie added softly, "It's not that, it's just, that house feels like it's watching you. I couldn't sleep there alone." Helen and I exchanged a look we'd been avoiding for days. "Yeah, that's why we all stay together," I admitted. Nothing ever truly happened, yet once the feeling was acknowledged, it lingered, thick and heavy in every quiet hallway. Later, when Margaret traveled again, my younger brother Lee volunteered to house it. We didn't tell him anything. At first, he seemed to enjoy it, hosting friends, enjoying the freedom. One night, he called us with a prank idea. He wanted to scare his friends using this creepy old bunny costume he and Jamie found. Our sister Shauna reluctantly agreed to wear it. That night, Jamie, Shauna, and I arrived at Margaret's house to help set up the scare. Lee had gathered his friends in the shed out back and locked up the house, leaving only a few lights on. As we crept around the side of the house toward the bathroom window, Jamie and I both stopped dead in our tracks. There, cast onto the ground, was the distinct shadow of someone standing inside by the side door, motionless, as if watching us. We waited, thinking maybe someone had slipped inside for a quick bathroom break. But the shadow didn't move, it just lingered, patient and still. Shauna's muffled voice broke the silence. "What's taking so long? It's boiling in here." I tried to hush her, then quickly looked back. The shadow was gone. No sound of a door, no rustling curtains, just gone. Uneasy but still committed to the prank, we continued. Jamie and I scratched at the shed walls, and Lee opened the door to reveal Shauna looming in the doorway, head bowed under the bunny costume. His friends stared, pale and silent. Lee laughed, but no one else did. Afterward, Jamie and I pulled Lee aside. "Who was in the house?" we asked. Lee frowned. "No one. Everyone's been in the shed, just like we planned." We insisted on walking through the house, room by room, hallway by hallway. It was empty, and all the doors were still locked. Whoever or whatever had cast that shadow wasn't there. Sometime later, over a family dinner, we all finally opened up about our experiences. Lee listened for a bit, then eventually began sharing his own. He often heard the doorbell ring at odd hours with no one there. The garage door opened and closed on its own. And he said that oppressive feeling in the house seemed to follow him from room to room. At first, his friends slept in separate guest rooms. But night after night, they drifted into one room, dragging mattresses in, needing to be close. One friend swore he woke up to see a face staring in through the window before it vanished into nothing. Another time, someone woke up speaking in a strange, guttural language, scratching at the floor. The next morning, they didn't remember anything. And then there was the time Lee dropped his phone beside Margaret's bed. Reaching down, his hand brushed something cold. He pulled out an old Ouija board, hidden and covered in dust. After that, Lee moved into a different room. And soon, all his friends followed. Margaret eventually moved back to Germany, taking her dog with her and retiring from her long career as a nurse at a mental asylum. I can't help but wonder if something from that place had come home with her. Something unseen but deeply felt. And as for that night, when Jamie and I saw the shadow by the door, whoever or whatever it was, let's not meet.
Five years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
The Subconscious Astral World by Cactus Head, 1664. I'm going to talk about three experiences where regular people noticed entities without consciously noticing them. I accidentally send energy through or off of myself all of the time, and I send stuff away. It's like an impulse. I can see a lot of things that people can't. I once had a handyman at my home. We were waiting for a call back to see if they had a part that we needed. We were talking a lot in the meantime. It was a good conversation. This dark energy goes into his face, and he cringes. I push it away. It leaves. He keeps talking like nothing even happened. Another time I saw a Reiki instructor. Now, while she's sitting there and we're talking about what I wanted to work on, this dark black figure is too close to her left side. It's sort of leaning in. She cringes and changes positions on the sofa to lean away. I send that one away too, and she seems relieved. Finally, I was at the mall, waiting for people to come in through the doors so I could leave, standing near the open door button back to the wall. A man walks in, and he has this overlay on his body. A big 8-foot-tall entity. Not human, but not necessarily bad energy either. I send energy at it on impulse, because it's weird. I don't see this often. The man whips around to look at me, then just goes on his way. See, people notice this stuff all the time, enough to be affected by it, for it to change their demeanor, make them uncomfortable, but not enough to say anything in the moment.
My Experience with the Hat Man by Brittany. I've been meaning to write this story for a long time, and something tells me it's finally time. This experience happened about 5 years ago, at the beginning of a relationship with someone who is now my ex. We shared a mutual fascination with the paranormal. For context, I'm a medium, and I've known this about myself for over 15 years. Although I've had experiences for as long as I can remember. The journey of how I came into that awareness is another story, but for the past decade and a half, I've been doing active, professional mediumship with consistent success. On the day this all happened, I decided to smudge my space with sage. At the time, I lived in a fairly large apartment, and my bedroom was downstairs in the basement. I only wanted to cleanse that room, not the entire house. Normally when smudging, the goal is to push energy out, ideally through an open window or door. But the one window in that basement room was stuck, and nearly impossible to open. I didn't want to push any stagnant energy into the rest of the apartment either. For reasons I still can't explain, I decided to try something different, something I'd never done before. I had recently learned about the violet flame, a visualization tool used to transmute energy. The concept is that while energy can't be destroyed, the violet flame can transform lower or dense energy into something lighter, more neutral. So I gave it a try. I had a large mirror in my room, and during my smudging, I visualized the energy being pushed into the mirror, where it would be transmuted by the violet flame. It was experimental, really. An intuitive effort to create a different kind of release point for the energy I was clearing. I didn't think much more about it, and I just went to bed that night. My partner was already asleep on the other side of the bed. I woke up in the middle of the night for no clear reason. No sound, no movement. Just an intuitive nudge. When I opened my eyes, I saw a figure standing beside the bed, next to my sleeping partner. He wasn't just any figure. He was tall and shadowed, dressed in a long cape, wearing a wide-brimmed hat, something between a fedora and a flat-brimmed hat. As strange as it sounds, I wasn't alarmed. As a medium, I'm used to the occasional visitor. Still in a sleepy haze, I muttered a prayer to Archangel Michael to clear out any unwanted energies and drifted back to sleep. But just minutes later, I woke up again, this time more alert. I recalled what I had seen, and although I couldn't see the figure anymore, I decided to do an intuitive scan of the space. It's like sensing the energetic presence in a room. As I scanned, I could feel the man's energy lingering, right around the corner, hiding in the attached bathroom. Now fully awake, I focused and began saying stronger prayers, doing more deliberate cleansing work. After about 5 minutes of spiritual work, I saw him again. This time, walking out of the bathroom, straight toward the mirror I had used earlier for the violet flame. This next part is hard to explain, but I'll try. As he approached the mirror, he paused and looked directly at me. Though his form was mostly shadow, I could make out his eyes beneath the brim of his hat. Piercing, intelligent, and with a mischievous glint. Almost like he was silently saying, "You're not so easy to fool." He tipped his hat at me. Then, he bent down and did something I've never seen before. He opened a portal. When I looked at it, It appeared as if the mirror had transformed into a cosmic doorway. Behind it, I could see stars, galaxies, a vastness I don't even have words for. He stepped through it and disappeared. The portal closed. At the time, I had never even heard of the Hat Man, but the experience shook me enough that I decided to do some research online. I described what I saw, a shadowy figure with a brimmed hat and a long coat. To my astonishment, story after story popped up. People all over the world have reported encounters with what they call the Hat Man. Reading those accounts gave me full body chills. For days afterward, the area around that mirror in my room felt strange, off. The energy was thick, almost vibrating. Eventually, I asked my partner to take the mirror to the dump. I also did several spiritual cleansings to close anything that might have been left open. That was the only time I saw the Hat Man, but when I've meditated on the experience since, I keep coming back to the moment he tipped his hat. It felt like a promise or a warning. We'll meet again. I wasn't scared of him. I wasn't paralyzed like in a typical sleep paralysis. I could move. I could speak. And while he didn't feel exactly like a friendly presence, I didn't sense evil from him either. I honestly believe he was there to forewarn me, specifically about my partner. At the time, I had no idea my partner was struggling with addiction and hiding other destructive behaviors. Those revelations would come later and ultimately unravel our relationship. But I truly believe the Hat Man was there for a reason, standing on his side of the bed. In all my years as a medium, I've never encountered anything quite like him. Spirits and visitors, yes. But none of them have ever opened a portal before my eyes and walked through it. This being was something else. Interdimensional. Not just a spirit. Not something of this world. And that was my one and only encounter with the Hat Man. Needless to say, I never experimented with cleansing in such ways again.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
My Near-Death Experience by Storm Sentinel. When I was a little girl, I got very sick. I hadn't been able to hold anything down for 3 days, and I was running a relentless fever. I remember my mom talking on the phone to the doctor about this fever. She put me in a cool tub of water as instructed. Back then, we didn't know that this was the wrong thing to do. My mom put me back in bed, and I felt some relief as my fever abated. but it was short-lived because it rebounded and soared even higher to 105 degrees. I was cooking from the inside out. During this time, I felt disconnected from my body, as if I didn't fit in it. I felt an odd sensation, like I kept floating up out of my body and back down again. Then, the ceiling started vibrating like a rubber band, back and forth. It appeared to be moving toward me, like it was going to crush me. It was explained to me later that I was having a seizure. I cried out in fear. My mother grabbed me up with my blankets and ran into the cool night to her car. It was a white VW Bug. She laid me down in the front seat. I could tell that she was trying to hide that she was crying. This makes me miss her a lot. I was lying there in the front seat, looking up at the stars and the sky. The window was cracked so I could feel the cool air blowing against my hot skin. It felt really good. I was so tired. I've never in my life experienced being that tired before or since. I couldn't even lift my arms or head. It took all of my strength just to expand my chest to breathe. We got to the hospital, and my mom ran in with me. They immediately put me on a bed and rolled me back. The lights were passing over my head as I went down a hall, then made a left into a room. The nurse was trying to start an IV while another was talking with me, asking me about my pets. I told them about how I felt much better now. I was just tired. If I could sleep for a while, I knew I'd be all better. The nurse, asking about my pets, sternly told me not to go to sleep. She asked me what kind of dog I had. I told her. She chuckled, repeating it back to me. She asked what the dog's name was. I was so tired. I just wanted to shut my eyes, just for a minute. It wouldn't hurt for a minute, right? So I did. The sounds in the room started to sound distant. The nurse was calling my name, asking what my dog's name was. Everything sounded metallic and far away. I felt the bottom of the bed with my toes. I got excited, thinking I was growing long legs. I opened my eyes to look, but I was met with my own face. My eyes were open slightly. My lips were white and chapped. My skin was almost green and pale. My hair was sticking to me from sweat and vomit. The nurse cried out an expletive. Then she turned and hit a button, and more people came into the room. My mom was crying by my side. I wanted to call out to her to tell her not to cry. I felt so much better. "I'm not sick anymore, Mom." But I didn't have a mouth to tell her with. I didn't have a body. I was aware of this, but it didn't scare me. It felt perfectly natural. I was part of all things. From every star to every blade of grass, it was like pouring a glass of water into the ocean. I drifted up through the ceiling. I've tried many times to paint what I saw. There were so many beautiful colors. Even the night sky that looked black was full of colors. It was incredible. I saw the light, but no tunnel. It was home. It was source. And it was love. There were no questions. All was known. There was no fear, pain, or sadness. And I was one. I experienced time as it truly exists, sort of like a burrito with one end over the other. In this way, all timelines happened at once. No future, no past, only now. I saw how the universe was threaded together through a kind of looping gravity, through what I can only describe as mirror wormholes. But that's not exactly accurate either. Each spawns another and another. The number is infinite. I experienced many lives in a blink. I saw as far back as the spark, and as far forward as 2,500 years from now. I understood the fields in which we exist, the physical as well as the fields where our awareness or our soul or life source exists. I felt every soul, every dream, wish, hope, and fear. I fell in love with the human soul that day, It has always been my greatest love. I love you without even knowing you because I do know you. We are profoundly and deeply connected and part of one another. We are in a beautiful dance. Think of it like you are the knee and I'm the elbow. We have different tasks, but we're the same being. You can't lose anyone. They are all part of you eternally, and you, them. The connection can never be severed by anything, least of all, death.
What Did I Hear? By Summer Fade. This happened a few months ago when I was driving home late from visiting my cousin in Ohio. I live in western Pennsylvania and left later than I planned. So by around 11:30 p.m., I was starting to feel that weird, hazy highway fatigue. I pulled off this tiny rest stop. No cars, just one row of parking, a bathroom, and two vending machines humming under yellow lights. It wasn't anything special, and it was empty. I used the bathroom, and as I walked back to my car, I heard a voice. A man's voice, low and even. Not yelling, just speaking. It was coming from behind the building. I stopped to listen. "The body shall," followed by a couple more words that I couldn't make out. But I distinctly remember hearing, "The body shall." I froze and listened more intently. "Be sealed and silent," he said. It didn't sound like a prayer, more like a statement, almost rehearsed. Staying quiet and unseen, and more than freaked out, I took a step toward my car, right as he began speaking again. But then his voice cut off immediately. I heard footsteps. They were kind of slow and measured, like someone was walking around the side of the building. At that point, I got in my car as fast as I could. Like a perfect cliche, I dropped my keys and had to scramble to grab them from under the seat. When I looked up, though, I didn't see anybody. I floored it and got back on the freeway. Then maybe 5 or 10 minutes later, I glanced in the rearview mirror, and for a split second, I swear, I saw the rest stop still there behind me. Not shrinking in the distance, it was just there. And it was a long way behind me. I shouldn't have been able to see it at all. But there it was, same lights, same building, still as a photo. I checked the passenger side mirror, and I could still make out the distinct lights of the parking lot. I practically shit myself and quickly looked back up to the rearview mirror. But it wasn't there anymore. No cars behind me either, just an empty freeway. I don't know what to make of this. Maybe I was just tired and my brain was being weird. Maybe it was just some weird guy behind the building saying nonsense to himself. But something about the whole thing felt wrong, like I wasn't supposed to hear what was being said, and somehow, whoever was speaking knew that I did.
Something Is in the Woods Near Cherokee by Overall Flamingo 107. My husband and I have been on our wedding anniversary trip for over a week now. We have a camper in Cherokee, North Carolina that we've been staying in. We both have an interest in abandoned places like ghost towns and old cemeteries. So we decided that we would visit Connor Cemetery off of Newfound Gap Road. It's about 2 miles from the Okunaluftee Visitor Center. When we arrived at a pull-off close to where the trailhead is supposed to be, we got out and started walking towards the opening of the woods, where there's a trail. The trail itself is visible, but you'd have to be looking for it. We were walking in, heading toward where the cemetery is supposed to be. I was in front, looking down to check for snakes and holes, and my husband was behind me. We paused for a second, and he said, "Babe, look at this statue." I started to look around and asked where. He pointed in the direction. What I was expecting was, you know, an angel statue. The kind that you normally see in old cemeteries, but that is not what I saw. I looked up, farther up the trail and off to the side, and there was what looked to be a 12 to 15 foot tall deer or elk statue. The statue looked like it was either made of wood or wrapped in leather hide and looked preserved. The problem is that nowhere online did it mention this statue or anything like it existing there. It immediately gave me this uneasy feeling. The face was strange. It was just such a weird place for something like that to be. My husband then said that he didn't like it at all and that we should go. As soon as he said that, we turned around and left as fast as possible. Once we got back to our car, I told him it didn't feel right at all. He agreed with me and said that he saw a deer-like face with no snout, and he thinks that it had blinked. He said its right ear moved, but not like a normal animal ear. It did this full 360-degree rotation. I told him what I saw was more like an elk body with a camel mixed with an elk face. On the way back to our camper, I kept thinking I should have taken a picture. Unfortunately, I didn't think of it at the time. Once we were back at the camper, we started researching and we couldn't find anywhere that listed this or even mentioned it being seen before. We decided to go back to a local Native American bookstore that we had gone to previously and speak to the older lady who runs it. We explained what had happened and she advised us to speak to the visitor center in the national park to see if anyone else had seen something similar or if they knew of any Native stories about something like this. She also said that sometimes things choose for you to be the only ones to see them. We thanked the lady, and we went back to our camper. Now I'm here, typing this out and thinking, what could we have possibly seen in the middle of the woods? We've both been around deer and outdoor our whole lives. What we saw was not deformed and was not moving. It did not have chronic wasting disease. If you have any info on what this could be, please let me know. We'll be going to the visitor center tomorrow and likely be going back into the woods to see if it's still there or not.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
So, Big Boss Cheeto, cool name. They watched a TikTok video.
Or I guess they're watching paranormal TikToks, plural. And then all of a sudden, some spooky stuff starts happening. Now, I wouldn't say scary things happen after I watch something that genuinely scares me, whether that be a movie or something online. But that feeling of fear, like for me, it's when I go to bed. I like to watch scary stuff before I go to bed. That's just how I am.
Yeah, that's the best. Or like depressing true crime stuff, like interviews with some horrible people.
I don't know why that puts me to sleep, but it does. And I will watch that stuff before I go to bed in the living room. And then I'll have to walk in the dark to my bedroom. And even at 38 years old, after watching something scary, I still feel like I'm being watched. I still feel like there's something there following me around in the house. Like I awakened some kind of demon or spirit by watching something scary. It doesn't feel like I'm being paranoid or anything like that. I honestly feel like, oh, well, yeah, I sense a presence or whatever.
Yeah, no, I get that for sure. I think we're probably like to some degree subconsciously looking for something to kind of validate the experience that we just passively went through, I guess, like through the lens of somebody else. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah. Well, in our case, it's probably just paranoia, anxiety. But in the case of Big Boss Cheeto, it seems like they really did awaken something because things just started disappearing and appearing in strange places. And then when they got the Bible and they put it on the nightstand, everything seemed to stop.
That is until...
Yeah, exactly. It's until they started watching paranormal shit again.
I know.
Now, we've talked about it before. We've had plenty of stories where people will just simply pray to Jesus or pray to God, and whatever scary thing is happening goes away. In this case, they didn't. They just put the Bible on the nightstand. That's all they had to do, which is kind of funny in its own way.
Yeah, the intention is there all the same, you know?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I don't think it has to do with who you're praying to or what, any of it. It's the intention of, okay, no, I do have this power over you. I don't want you here. Yeah. And that's kind of what
bringing
it is.
Bringing lightness into dark.
Exactly. Everything. Yeah. And I liked that story. I liked it a lot. And it made me want to watch more paranormal TikToks. I used to watch that stuff all the time, but I haven't in a while. And I do like how
TikTok videos are just known as TikToks, but yeah. YouTube videos have never been known as YouTubes. Kind of an interesting thing that they managed to pull off. Like how Googling is a thing, not just internet searching. Like if you can get your proper noun to be a regular noun or a verb or whatever, then I think you're golden. So TikTok, very well done.
Yeah, you're set. I remember for Twitter, it was tweeting.
Yeah.
For YouTube, I've never called them YouTubes, which I guess I've heard some people say that, but it's always kind of said in a mocking way, like YouTubes.
Yeah, or from our parents.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe somebody that's not in the know. And yeah, you're right. TikToks, they've just took over with that. It was perfect. You know what? I think the originator was probably Vine. I'm watching Vines. That was my shit back in the day.
Oh, yeah. I do remember liking Vines, but for some reason, maybe it's just age or just the state of, I don't know, what goes viral these days. TikTok has never really grabbed me by the horns or anywhere else for that matter. But I can appreciate that like, there's probably some good stuff on there, but
yeah,
it's just more scrolling and more things. I don't really, it's just noise. It's all about the noise to signal ratio, I've learned, and most of that is just noise. I think my screen time is down to like 2.5 hours a day on average, and most of that is just from like reading books. It's nice. I like to put my phone on airplane mode. Mm-hmm. I want to get one of those bags that block out like all the EMFs and everything and go full, no tracking, no nothing. But then I'm paranoid that some emergency is going to happen, or like you might want to tell me a bedtime story and my phone will just be off, and that's not cool. So on it stays.
Yeah, I always feel like if something bad were to happen and I just didn't have my phone on me, or I had it on silent, or it was dead, I would feel responsible for whatever bad thing may have happened that I might have been able to prevent, or just getting the news late, not being able to say goodbye to a loved one that was in the hospital that I didn't, you know, like I would live with that forever. So it's almost like I have this guilt of not having my phone with me, if that makes sense.
And I hate that. The guilt of not being reachable 24/7, I despise that with cell phones. It's an expectation that you should be reachable at all times within reason, but still, I think it's not reasonable enough.
Yeah, and then also it makes certain people paranoid. Like if you can't get a hold of your kid, if they're not answering their phone, you can't get their location. that's going to freak you out. That's just how it is with a lot of modern parents. I know for me, I do get anxiety when I don't hear from my wife and it's been hours and she's been out at night with friends or something. If I don't know where she's at and she's not answering or responding to me, I still get really nervous.
The location doesn't update.
Oh yeah. I still get really nervous.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hate that because life was so simple when we were kids. We didn't think about that stuff at all. We weren't worrying about things like we are nowadays, which is, it's so stupid. It's so stupid. I hate it.
Yeah, there was the stranger danger was definitely there, but it felt more like of a boogeyman that, oh, that'll never happen to me. And it never did. We were lucky, of course, but yeah, it's definitely a different time that we're in. Out here, though, I do see a lot more kids just walking around, just going to the store by themselves. Like there was like these two girls who couldn't have been older than 10 or 11, just walking down the sidewalk. It shouldn't be a weird thing to see, but yeah, I don't really see kids just playing in neighborhoods anymore. I know we've talked about this 1,000 times, but I think there's like a sense of safety out here in suburbia, Utah.
Yeah, there is. I get it. I kind of see that here where I live because I don't live in the city anymore. I kind of see that here where I live. And yeah, I would just love to go to a flip phone or a dumb phone and just be off the grid more, but the guilt won't let me do it. I feel like it's not fear of missing out. It's literally just the fear of not being there if I needed to be somewhere.
It's a tool.
At the drop of a hat.
A radio on steroids. You could always get like a Pixel with like an open source operating system to de-Google yourself and just to do that route, but it becomes such an inconvenience. Like how we've both tried to use Linux to step away from Microsoft and Apple, but that becomes too much of a chore and it all ends up being a Hail Big Brother moment, 1984. We just accept it within reason and keep our heads down and behave, get in line.
It's funny that that's the dream, being away from Windows and Apple.
I wish. And Meta. Yeah, that's right, Meta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll sink in one day.
It will. I hope so. Like literally sink in. I'm sure Zuckerberg is just like rubbing his hands together, just evilly grinning, waiting for me to reactivate Facebook. But it's no difference because we're on Instagram. So it's just like this illusion of whatever. Anyway, story time. What else we got here? Margaret's house. How about that one? She was talking about German shepherds and loving to speak German, or a grandma did or something. And then I read moving to Australia is Austria. And I thought we were getting pranked. I'm like, okay, Sabrina, real funny. You're going to tell me that you moved to Austria and became a painter too. Okay.
Yeah.
But my bad. I misread that. So Australia, cool. I did want to kind of talk about like the shared sense of being watched that everybody in the house had.
Yeah.
What do you think that is? That weird feeling that we get that we can't quite explain of, I'm not alone here. Do you think it's a physiological thing that we can't describe because it's like such a minor presence or a minor shift in reality that we can't pinpoint? Or do you think it is something greater that's warning us, something external?
Well, I always refer to my Bible when I think of stuff like this or when I talk about that stuff, and that's Robert Monroe's Journeys Out of Body.
Mm.
I bring it up nearly every episode, but this is explained by Robert Monroe pretty thoroughly in many different stories with his out-of-body experiences. There was one astral trip where he went to a friend's house and he tried to get her attention by like pinching her.
Where?
While he was out of body, just like on her side or something. It wasn't malicious, but yeah, just something like on her side, he like pinched her, something like that. And later on when he talked to her, she said that she sensed something in the room with her at that time. She felt like something was looking at her and she felt like being pinched or something like that. Anyway, there were so many stories like that from Robert Monroe that have been corroborated by other people where they felt like they were being watched and it was him in his astral body watching them, just visiting them in the astral realm. So I think what it is it's just whether it be people from Earth having astral projections, out-of-body experiences, and just kind of visiting you, or maybe people in their dreams, they're visiting you in that realm, in their dreams, and we're picking up on that subconsciously. Or it's other beings that are moving into that realm. But I think it's the astral realm is what it is.
Yeah, or like a loved one praying for you even could maybe like send some sort of angel over you.
Yeah.
That's always a possibility.
Yeah. Oh, that, yeah, absolutely.
A potential physiological, biological, whatever type of explanation could be the reticular activating system.
Oh, okay.
Which, yes, I had to look up before recording this. For those who may not be aware, like I wasn't 10 minutes ago, it decides what's important to you. Like all these signals that we get,
yeah.
These different sights and sounds that are kind of lingering in the background. But if something just very subtly changes, we might not be able to pinpoint it at the time, but something isn't right. Something kind of raises a micro alertness. It kind of like if we hear our name being called, we're not actively listening for it. But if we hear it, we're going to perk up because it's just there.
Yeah.
So maybe there's like these subtle shifts in the weight of the air or a number of things that we can't quite pinpoint in the moment that mm-hmm. just doesn't feel right. And we feel like it's going to be some paranormal thing.
Yeah.
That's always a possibility too. But, you know, this is Odd Trail. So, of course, it's always ghosts.
Yeah. I want to default to that as much as possible just because that's the fun explanation. And I want life to be fun.
Yes.
You know, as far as the Ouija board goes, the recurring curse of almost every single episode, there happens to be a Ouija board in a story. We talked about this. I watched and read The Exorcist recently, and what they don't cover in the movie is that the demon was actually invited into Reagan via a Ouija board.
Oh.
And it was her, yeah, it was her friend. I think Howdy Doody is what the demon was calling itself. I think that's what it was. And there's a lot about the Ouija board in the book. And that is based on the real case that the author wrote about or based the story of The Exorcist on, which I think it was from the early 1900s. It was a real possession case. And that possession case that was documented began with a Ouija board. They invited the demon in and they became possessed. I think that we can invite certain spirits or demons or evil beings into our homes, into our lives, or even inside of us or attached to us. But I think that something like a Ouija board is similar to the Bible and that it is the intention. The intention is there and it's greater than if it weren't there. It's kind of like a tool, just like the Bible would be to bring light into the situation. It's there to bring dark into the situation. That's what it exists for.
Ooh, hot take.
I suppose so. Anyways, thanks everybody so much for listening. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Sign up for our Patreon at patreon.com/oddtrails to get ad-free versions of all of our episodes and support the show today. And finally, check out the new episodes of my other podcasts like Let's Not Meet and the Old Time Radio Cast at crypticcountypodcasts.com. See you guys next week, everyone. Stay safe.
Peace out.
Don't let the ghosts and the ghouls disturb you, darling.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.